Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later in the program, we will be speaking of the arts with Rob DeWalt, and we'll also be talking briefly to Valentine McKay Riddell about her new book. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Hey, is the session almost over?
It certainly is, and they've just been working, meeting late into the evenings. Normally, committee hearings end by Wednesday, and even today they're having committee hearings, trying to get those bills out of committee and onto the floor of the House or the Senate. So it is really busy up here.
Now, budget was passed yesterday by one vote?
Yes, yesterday. The House Bill 2 budget that had been over in the Senate finally passed out. And, of course, what that means is if it gets to the governor within the last 3 days of the session, then she has 20 days to veto, line item veto, or sign. And I'm sure she's going to have a few line item vetoes.
What is expected in terms of that?
Well, just there were some areas where she may want less money, and I couldn't tell you exactly what those are, but every governor finds some little thing that they can line item veto. Of course, she was on the news, I think it was last night, the governor saying that the budget wasn't balanced, but just last night, they passed that final piece of legislation that does balance the budget, and you heard about that on your news, where they took the 1.75% swap, as they call it. So now the employees of the school districts and the state have to pay an additional 1.75% into their retirement fund, and the state will not be paying that 1.75%.
Until further notice?
Pardon me? Oh, for 2 years.
For 2 years.
And that's where that $100 million came from that will balance House Bill 2, the budget.
Now, what about, how did it finally end up with the film incentive program?
That bill passed with a cap of $50 million. It's still at the 25%. But it will be paid out in a slower manner. So the most that we can pay out in the tax credit form a year would be $50 million.
And that is lower than what's being paid out right now?
Right. Right now, I believe we're paying out up to $65 million.
So that
was a compromise on the part of the legislature with the governor's desire to really cut that by 25%.
So now that is done, the governor can sign it if she thinks it's a balanced budget, which it does seem to be.
Yeah.
What else? Are we still working on bills? I mean, when does the session end? Today at noon? Tomorrow?
No, tomorrow at noon ends, and they are madly working on bills. This happens every year where the last week they just start cranking out the bills, hearing them into the wee hours on the floors of both chambers. So that's what they're doing. Now, there were a couple of other bills that she said she really wanted. One was the DNA bill, which requires anyone arrested for a felony to provide their DNA. And that passed the Senate last night at 12 a.m. And I believe they tweaked it some, but that bill is going to her also.
And that's already been passed by the House.
Right, right.
Okay, and what else?
She wanted the driver's license bill, preventing undocumented immigrants from having driver's licenses. That did pass the House, as you'll remember. We talked about that, I think 2 weeks ago, and went over to the Senate, where the Senate did a lot of amendments on it, and one of the things the Senate did was to continue the driver's licenses, but have more restrictions where they had to come in more frequently to renew them. And that bill was sent back to the House, where they did not concur. And They've sent it to a conference committee, as far as I can tell, which means that they're supposed to be trying to work it out. I'm beginning to doubt that anything's going to happen with that bill.
Because if it goes into a conference committee, then they have to duke it out, and then it has to go to the floor for a vote sometime in the next 24 hours.
Right. They have to bring it back to both chambers once they've reached an agreement. And it seems to me they're, because the House and the Senate were so different, there's not going to be much agreement. But stranger things have happened, so we'll see.
Okay.
Another bill that she really wanted was the credit for the railroad locomotive refining facility down in Doña Ana County, right by the border. And yesterday, that bill had passed the House, and it passed the Senate yesterday. So creating that refinery will get a tax credit.
So that it's so interesting what gets tax credits and what doesn't. I mean,
isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we haven't really been able to prepare across the board quite as much as we would like to.
Right. Well, we talked about how there's $1 billion of different tax credits and tax deductions, and the only one that we went after this session was the film tax credit. And we haven't really looked at what's happening with all the others. So here's the creation of another tax credit. Now, it's a new one, so it's not going to affect our bottom line. But it is going to give another industry a tax credit.
We're talking to Linda Siegel with our legislative update. Now, there's some prescription drug legislation.
Yeah, that was a really good bill, which has been tried for a number of years, that would allow patients who've got extra or leftover prescription drugs, and they're still good, they haven't expired. The whole idea is that they can donate them to a clinic or to a provider's office, and that those drugs may be given to other people, prescribed, re-prescribed, so to speak, by the provider and given to other people who might not be able to afford those drugs. And that's been a bill that's been kind of controversial because the pharmaceutical companies want release of liability on that, and the provider re-prescribing wanted some protection on that. So they finally worked that bill out, and that one should be going to the governor, too.
Very interesting. I would think that that's the kind of bill that in rough economic times would be extremely necessary and useful.
Yes, absolutely.
What about education?
Well, education, of course, the education budget is in House Bill 2. It's about $2.4 billion. It's always, must be a little less than that, about $2.1 billion, because it's always at least or about half of the entire state budget. But there were some bills that are on the governor's radar for passage. One that would require that children be able to read by the third grade. And if they can't read by the third grade, there would be funding and different kinds of mentoring to help them be able to read so that they can pass to the next grade. It would be a bill that would allow them to be held back until they can read. That's one that the education secretary, the new education secretary, really wants, but it hasn't quite made it through yet. I think there's still time, and that may be one. The other one you heard about on your news, the ranking of the schools with A, B, C, D, F grades. That one hasn't quite made it through yet, but there's a lot of momentum behind it. It's been amended a number of times. And that will probably make it through. Again, there's the issue of how are we going to pay if a school is an F school and there's no place else you can send your children. Let's say you live in a small school district where there's only one school and it's an F school. Where are your kids going to go?
So what is the idea that if it's an F school, what, they kick everybody out and start all over? I mean, what's the plan of action if somebody gets an F?
Well, the plan will have to be developed. Because there's really no extra money to help schools. They'll have to divert money from other areas to help an F school improve its grade. the idea in a big metropolitan area is you can just have your child go to another school, and then no one will be at that school. It's hard to see how that's going to work either. So there's a lot of details on that bill that has to be worked out. And then last night, another controversial bill, but one that's really wanted by the administration, is a teacher-principal evaluation. And they spent about 2 or 3 hours last night in the House Labor Committee rewriting, putting amendments on that the Senate bill that had passed, identifying those areas for evaluation, and they were rewriting it in the House committee. So I don't know how that one's going to fare if it got out of committee last night.
What would that bill do?
Well, it would create a mechanism for greater evaluation of teachers and principals. The problem, as pointed out by our superintendent here in Santa Fe, is that the concept is excellent, but there are also union agreements with every school district. So if you identify a teacher through evaluation that's maybe not performing as well, you still have to go through the union negotiating process in addition to whatever this bill might develop. So there are some complications with that, which will have to be worked out too.
And there are also just fundamental questions about what's wrong with our educational system in the first place. To what extent is it teachers and principals, and to what extent is it other issues like substance abuse at home, kids coming to school hungry, various issues surrounding poverty in a poor state?
Absolutely. I mean, we're expecting our schools to solve a lot of our social problems, which it's totally impossible for them to do.
So let's see, lottery scholarship.
Yes. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the lottery scholarships and probably 10 bills introduced in the session. And that, of course, is where years ago we created the system from the sale of lottery tickets, where if you graduated from a public school in New Mexico and you had the right grade point average, which I think was only 2.5, you could get into any school and have your tuition paid for. And then you had to maintain that 2.5 grade average.
2.5, like a C+?
C+, right. So if you maintained that, then we would pay for up to 4 years of your college education. But you have to go consecutively. Well, anyway, with all of the increases in tuition, and of course, as a Santa Fe Community College board member, when we increase tuition, it's because the state has told us we have to, because they take a credit for our tuition. And so colleges and universities throughout the state have been raising tuition over the last 10 years. So the lottery scholarship fund has been diminishing. And it was scheduled, if we keep using it at the rate we're using it, the money will be gone by 2014. So a bill has passed that would freeze the rates that the almost 20,000 students who are currently receiving lottery scholarships, the rates would freeze at the rate they went in, like their first year when they went into that college or university. Whatever the tuition is, that's what the lottery scholarship will pay, and now the student will have to pay whatever the balance on top of that is.
And what are the implications for students?
Well, students will certainly have to come up with more money. And this was not a means-tested bill. So anybody, low-income students, moderate-income students, and even affluent families, their student could go on the lottery scholarship. And so it may mean some hardship for some of our lower-income students.
They didn't think of cutting them for affluent students of affluent parents?
You know, that's been a conversation always presented at hearings for these bills, but there's been a desire not to means test so that anybody who qualifies can receive the lottery scholarship. Who knows, that might be next year's bill.
Now, anything about unemployment?
Yes, that unemployment bill that we've talked about has finally passed, and that is the bill that's going to raise, for all of us who have businesses, our, I believe it starts January of 2012, we will have to start paying more in unemployment tax per employee. I believe it went up to about $370 average, where it's been like, about 150. So it's a significant increase, but we had to do this because our fund is running out of money. And this will prevent us from becoming insolvent in that fund and then having to borrow money from the federal government, which will cost us even more. This was one of those compromise bills that you rarely see, where you have business and industry as well as the progressive, consumer-oriented people all agreeing we've got to do this or we'll be in big trouble soon.
So the budget has passed, so we're not going to have a special session. The session ends tomorrow. You and I will probably do a wrap-up one of these days and look at the whole thing, but we've been having a wonderful time with you on these Fridays doing the legislative update. Anything you want to add before we go?
Well, I think that'll do it. Be looking for the 20 days after the session, because that's when the governor will be signing or vetoing most of the bills, and also when she'll be signing or vetoing House Bill 2. And we certainly hope that she doesn't veto the entire budget bill, or we will be back for a special session.
Linda Siegel is with us every Friday for the Legislative Update. Thank you so much for your continued updates, Linda Siegel.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. And I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Valentine McKay Riddell. She's the author of the book The River Goddess and Other Stories, and she will be speaking at Collected Works Bookstore tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
Good, good. So this is a children's book about a girl who talks to plants and animals and trees and nature spirits. What were the real life inspirations and what were the literary inspirations for these stories?
I don't know that there was in particular a literary inspiration, but the real life inspiration was that I actually found a little root that looked like a woman's figure in the Arroyo in Chisiki when I lived there. And I made a shrine, and one day I came to my little shrine and couldn't find this root. And when I did find it, it had been torn up, you know, by dogs maybe or something. So I brought it home. I told a woman friend about it, and she said, well, why don't you write about a story? You know, write a little story about it. So I sat down to write, and all these characters appeared.
In the way that various authors have talked about characters sort of showing up and telling you what they want to do and things like that.
Exactly, exactly.
How do you understand that creative process?
It's difficult to understand it. I'm not sure that I do. It's almost as if these creatures or thoughts or concepts take over. They become your whole life for a little while.
It took you not very long to write these stories.
No, it was almost nonstop writing for about 2 weeks, and when I was done, I had 4 stories and basically a book.
I'm surprised that you say there aren't literary inspirations, because when I was a little girl, I used to read every story I could get my hands on about magic and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all these other kinds of time travel and magical amulets and everything, and it seems to be kind of in that tradition.
It is. It's actually this particular book and the one that follows and the third one are all in the tradition of magic realism, which is, it is fiction, but it's not. Basically, it is a way of looking at the real world and seeing the magic that's there.
Now, the main character is named Alyssa.
Yes.
Is she based on any little girl that you know or anything like that?
Well, she, I guess, is the way I was sort of when I was a little girl. And her family is what I would have liked to have had.
Right.
You know. And all of the things that happened to her, to some degree, some of them happened to me. I was an odd little girl.
What do you mean?
Well, I did talk to plants and trees and animals and things like that. And I don't know, my father I guess he kind of understood it in a way. He called me Fae, which is a Celtic word for not really of this world. But I didn't understand anything about that or what it meant until I grew up and looked back and thought, ooh, you know, yeah, he was right.
Now, you're a psychologist. You work with adolescent girls, and you had written somewhere that this is partly for them?
In a way, yes, because so many of the girls I've worked with are so lost, and they are being led around by the media and by their peers, and they are alienated in many cases from their families. And they need help, but they don't know where to find it. And the fact is, it's there. It's there all around us. Our own inner guidance speaks to us, I think, in the form of nature and spirit. And this is kind of the message that, in a playful way, I would hope these girls could get.
Have you had any young people read it so far?
If they have, I don't know, because I haven't heard back from them, but I've had a number of grown women reading it who are saying things like, gee, I wish I could be like Alyssa. And I'm like, come on, you guys, Alyssa's like 12 or something. Hello?
Meaning, well, what did they mean when they said that?
I think they mean we want to be connected to these, you know, sort of intuitive forces. We want to find our own inner goddess. We want to find our own strength. You know, we want to feel supported in the universe.
And the book is called The River Goddess and Other Stories. Now, you've got some other books that you've written to follow up. Are they starring the same character, Alyssa?
Oh, yeah. It carries on. The second book is called Star Friends. And in this one, Alyssa is going to be a little bit older. And we will further develop her relationship with Rolf, and hopefully we'll get into some of the themes that touch more directly on the lives of girls, maybe 15, say, or 16.
How do you, as a psychologist, work with girls of that age group?
Art, shamanic journey. You can't sit teenagers down in a room and talk to them. They, you know, tune you out totally. And so taking them out for nature walks, talking to them, teaching them some of the shamanic things that, you know, young folks can do.
What does that look like?
Well, if I were going to do it with you, let's say you were a teenage girl, we'd have a drum. I'd tell you about shamanic journey. You would experience that. And when you came out, I'd have you maybe draw a picture of what your experience had been like, and then to the extent that you were willing, we'd talk about the picture.
Have you found that that is an effective healing technique for girls?
It seems to be. It seems to be something that doesn't threaten them too much. It's kind of fun. You know.
What about boys?
Sometimes yes, mostly no. And I have not worked, to be quite honest, with a great many young men, because most of the young folks I've had contact with are girls. Every now and then, one or two boys, but mostly they're like, ew, weird. We don't want to go there.
Valentine McKay-Riddell is the author of the book The River Goddess and Other Stories. She'll be speaking at Collected Works Bookstore tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon. Will you be reading from the book?
I will.
And the book is available at Collected Works. Valentine, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take another break. We'll be back in a minute. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasa Tiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us every Friday, speaking of the arts. Welcome.
Morning. Most Fridays.
Yeah, most Fridays. Most Fridays. Last Friday, Bill Hutchison was here.
Oh, how did that go?
Very nicely.
I meant to listen in, but I was busy.
Yes, well, good. You were having a day off. Happy one day after St. Patrick's Day. Did you wear green yesterday?
Yes, I did. I wore green socks and I wore my leprechaun hat to work.
You make an excellent leprechaun.
Yeah, I did. I did actually at one time play a leprechaun. That's a long story.
So what's happening this?
Paid well. Paid well.
Really? There's, ladies and gentlemen, there's work as a leprechaun.
That's right. Well, there's tons of stuff going on this weekend. One of the first things I wanted to mention was, and I was asked to mention, is the great folks over at Axel Contemporary, our mobile gallery, is having a show called Futurology 101, Welcome to the Third Wave, an installation by Kathleen McLeod.
Yay.
There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. You can find the gallery, the van, we'll call it. It's a step van near the Farmers Market Pavilion over there on Paseo de Peralta. Visit axelart.com and you can find out where the van's going to be. There's a story about this in today's Paso Tiempo, by the way.
Most excellent.
There's tons of other exhibits happening face-to-face. There's a group show called Face-to-Face opening at Gerald Peters Gallery over there on Paseo de Peralta. Winter Oud Fine Art at 701 Canyon Road has a show called Share Geometry, paintings by Emilio Lobato and ceramic sculpture by James Marshall. There's a reception tonight from 5 to 7. All kinds of openings this weekend. You can find out about them in the Paso Tiempo, obviously. I'm still recovering from, I didn't do anything for St. Patrick's Day last night, did you?
No, I had allergies that were so bad that I stayed home and tried to stay in a clean room.
There were a lot of people, you know, I've been suffering allergies too, but I found this great nose spray. I won't say the name of it on the air, but it really works for
Why
me.
Why not? Say the it's name of it on the air.
It's called Nasal Crom, and it's really expensive.
But it works.
I've been in kind of a daze for like a week and a half. I kind of felt like out of sorts, like I just had no energy and I couldn't think straight. And I went to my doctor and he was like, it's your allergies. You need to do something about your allergies.
Yeah.
And I feel tons better.
That's fantastic.
And the coffee helps. Anyway, what else happened?
Well, spread is the big day at Site Santa Fe. It's Farmer's Market at 6:30. Well, it starts at 7, but tickets are on sale at 6:30 if you haven't gotten them already. And it sounds like it's going to sell out if it hasn't.
It sold out in 30 minutes. There will be 50 tickets available. They're telling people to show up at 6 o'clock. It's going to be a mob.
It's a micro-granting initiative for artists, so New Mexico-based artists. So basically artists apply, then they get to, if they're accepted, they get to show their work, and people vote on who gets the cash.
Right, and it's sort of a sliding scale situation. It's between I think $15 and $50 is what they're asking for a quote unquote donation. Whole Hog, if you're into barbecue, is going to be catering that, and there's going to be a vegetarian option.
Whole Hog, they're wonderful.
They are. They're moving downtown.
Really?
Yeah. You remember where Cafe Dominic was, right across from the Cowgirl Barbecue?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now there's going to be Whole Hog Barbecue right across the street from Cowgirl
from
Barbecue.
From the Cowgirl. So competing, dueling barbecues.
They're completely different styles, but I think what they should do is every year they should have a fundraiser in the summer, a barbecue off, some sort of a cook-off, and make it a fundraiser. That would be fun.
That would be great fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both very good. I love the Whole Hog.
I want to go to Spread, but I forgot to buy my tickets.
Yeah, well, can't do everything. Eve Ensler tonight at the Lenzic.
Oh, is that tonight?
It's swimming upstream. It's actually, we had Eve Ensler on yesterday. It's not her play exactly. She facilitated the writing of this play, and it's all New Orleans actors and writers and singers, musicians who are writing about, who are basically performing this play. I read the script. I haven't seen it yet because it's tonight. About Katrina, before, during, and after. And it's so good that I actually wept while reading the script on my computer.
That says a lot.
Yes.
You interviewed her yesterday. Or
indeed.
Oh, that was a good interview.
Thank you.
She's
an amazing person.
She is. And this is, now there's a show tonight at 7, right?
At
there's
the Lenzic.
There's another one at 8 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, good.
And there's another one at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was 3 days.
That's what I'm seeing in the calendar.
Well, then it must be true.
It must be true. there's a lot of theater going on this week. In the next room, the Vibrator Play.
Yes.
This is the final weekend. Santa Fe Performing Arts Adult Company presents Sarah Rule's comedy that has adult themes. And that is, let's see, there's a show tonight at 7 over there at the Armory for the Arts Theater on Old Pecos Trail. There's one 7 o'clock on Saturday, and there's one at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Invaders of the Heart, there's a belly dance, Mosaic Dance Company's belly dance troupe, and Un Mata at 7:30 p.m. tonight at James A. Little Theater.
I would like to say that I do not see Swimming Upstream at the Lenzic on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, then that must be an oopsie.
Yeah, it's tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow is the Met live in high definition.
Yeah.
And that's at 11 and 6. And I don't see anything at the Lenzic on Sunday.
You don't see anything on Saturday, though?
Saturday is the Met.
Okay.
The Metropolitan Opera.
Okay. Are you looking at ticketsantafe.com?
I'm looking at Lenzic.org.
Lenzic.org. Go to ticketsantafe.
Call the Lenzic for more information.
Yeah, call the Lenzic for more information. We can.
The number is 988-1234.
I want to get this in. The Audio Revolution Youth Media Project
yes.
presents a student showcase of theater, dance, spoken word. poetry and hip-hop from 7:30 to 9 p.m. tonight at the Santa Fe Complex, which is a fun place.
It is indeed.
And that's over there on Agua Fria Street. Donations are being requested. You can get more information, of course, by going to the Santa Fe Complex website or calling 986-1880. That's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, we had them on the other day, too, and they're terrific young people doing radio and learning how to do media, learning how to understand media, learning how to take power within the media.
Wow, they should teach me how to do radio.
You know how to do radio.
Oh, no, well, it's debatable.
You
anyway.
Do it in the most lovely manner. Rob DeWalt, speaking of the arts. Hey, Songs for Esperanza. Benefit for Esperanza Shelter. Party with a Purpose, and that is on Sunday from 5 to 10 at Tiny's, an evening of music with New Mexico's musicians Nacho Mendez, Susan Hyde Holmes, Margaret Burke, Kathleen Campbell, Mariachi Buenaventura, Jen Run, Sister Mary Evans, and Bonnie Hearn, Anita Broughton, Paula Little Bird, McDonald. It just goes on and on and on. Lots of, and many more, and then it says, and special guests.
Ah, special
donation
guests.
At the door.
So, all right, talk about the Met Live in HD. If I try and pronounce this, I'm going to just mangle it. Natalie Dessay stars in Donizetti's, what is it called? Lucia de Lammermoor, I think. Anyway, at 11 p.m. on Saturday, there's an encore at 6 p.m. Of course, that's at the Lenzic. That same day, Don Feinberg is going to discuss the opera at Collective Works Bookstore at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday.
Excellent.
And that's sort of an opera breakfast lecture series over there at Collected Works. Small fee to get in, reservations 992-5853. Those things are getting popular.
They are so popular. Yeah. It's people just love going to the opera in this town. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, and here's something interesting. Fraternal Order of Police has live music on the weekend. Isn't
really?
That strange? Yeah. The Tangents and R&B and Latin Tunes tonight at 8:30 p.m. at the Fraternal Order of Police, and that is over on Calle Maria Luisa. I have no idea where that is.
They should have that group, The Police.
I think that would be impossible.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday at Collected Works Bookstore, Tom and Karen Fitzsimmons with the wondrous We and the Finger of God, facilitated by Desiree Mays.
Ah. Also, I forgot to say, also on Saturday, Collective Works is continuing its shared reading series. And at 2 p.m., you can hear Carol Calvert, Valentine McKay Riddell.
We just had Valentine on.
Really?
A few minutes ago.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I should have introduced myself. And Carol McKay at 2 p.m. at Collective Works over there on Galiseo Street. There's
lots
no charge for that.
Yeah. All those are nice free events at the bookstore. And then on Monday at Collected Works, Jim Kaplan, The Greatest Game Ever Pitched. Juan Marichal, Warren Spahn, and the pitching duel of the century.
You know, I read this book over the weekend.
Did you? Is it good?
Actually, yeah, it's really good. I took it down to Las Cruces with me when I was on my vacay. I didn't get to it, actually, until Sunday night. That's the way I work my deadlines. But it was really a fantastic book. It's not just a book about a game. You know, the premise being that these two guys pitched 16 innings over a 4-plus-hour period back in 1963. One of them was 24, 26 years old. The other one was 42 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
16 innings is unheard of. It's ridiculous. Only one run was scored. It's a fascinating book because you really get into, Jim Kaplan brings in like all of the history of the time and the civil rights movement is involved and some of the racial overtones that sort of applied to Latin American players. He was Dominican, Marichal was. So it's a really interesting book. And that is at what, 6 p.m. on Monday he's going to be signing? Yes, 6 p.m. on Monday.
And on, let's see, the 23rd, now what date of that day of the week is that?
That would be a Wednesday.
Wednesday. Thrilling Night with Joseph Bedall and John Voorhaus, thriller writers. And let's see, the book.
Albuquerque, Turkey.
Albuquerque,
awesome.
Turkey. Is it?
Yeah, I reviewed it. It's a really, really fun book. Part of it takes place in Santa Fe. And I wouldn't call it, I would say that he well, just let's just say that he's not kind to the art community. But he puts an interesting spin on it, and he admits on his website that he's only been to Santa Fe once and gathered a lot of information about Santa Fe off the internets. So for some reason in the book we have an IKEA. it's a really funny book. It is fiction.
And then Joe Bedal, The Nostradamus Secret, and I haven't read that. I haven't read either one of them, but Joe has been a member of the New Mexico House of Representatives, and he's worked in the financial industry, and he now writes thrillers and mysteries.
Cool.
Fun.
More bookish stuff. On Sunday, Ann Hillerman is going to discuss and sign copies of The Gardens of Santa Fe.
Nice.
It's part of the 18-day celebration of women in the arts.
Is it the final weekend?
I think it is. Ooh. It's been going on for a while, but that's at 3 p.m. at CCA on Sunday. And there's a small fee to go to that. But, I think that whole event sort of wraps up this weekend.
Yeah, let's see what else. Just opening it right now. What else is happening in 18 days this weekend? It's in very small print. Let me make it bigger.
While you squint, I will talk about the Flying Cow Gallery. Warehouse. That's in Warehouse 21, the Teen Art Center over there in the rail yard. Out of My Head, work by ninth grade students from New Mexico School for the Arts in conjunction with a play of the same name. There's a reception on Wednesday the 23rd at 5:30 p.m. That show is up through March 25th. Now, that particular play, Out of My Head, plays, it's a play by ninth grade students from the Mexico School for the Arts at the Black Box Theater at Warehouse 21 at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And it's also at 7 p.m. on Thursday. And I believe it's also at 7 p.m. on Friday.
All right.
Continues through March 25th. You can go to warehouse21.org or call 989-4423 for more information on that play.
And in terms of Consuelo, in the 18 days, Consuelo Luce and singer-songwriter Mirabai Daniels will be performing tonight at 7 o'clock at the CCA. And then tomorrow there's a luncheon honoring Guadalupe Goler, which is at La Posada, and it's called The Art of the Shoe. And then, as you said, Ann Hillerman at 3 o'clock on Sunday.
Yay.
What
else? Oh, on Thursday, Andy Warhol, Good for the Jews.
Yes.
Have you heard of this?
I have. I'm trying to schedule an interview about it. I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
A comic monologue by Josh, and I'm going to totally mangle his last name, Kornbluth, at 7 p.m. at the Lenzik on Thursday the 24th. There's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo. It repeats on Saturday, March 26th. So you can either catch it this Thursday or next Saturday. And there's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo on page 26.
And I had a historian on named John Stauffer, who has written this wonderful book called Giants, which is about Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. And he is here tonight talking about slavery and the meaning of America. And it will be at the Forum at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design tonight at 7 o'clock.
Cool.
Yep.
Here's a good one. Picture Plane on Monday the 21st at Rouge Cat. Picture Plane is he's got from here. I think he's based in Denver now. A producer, DJ, musician, electro, glam, disco stuff happening 9 o'clock at Rouge Cat. That's over there, I believe, on Marcy Street and Lincoln Avenue. And that's at 9 p.m. on Monday, March 21st. Interesting day for a show, but hey. Also, I want to mention that the SXSF Transit Music Festival is wrapping up this next week. And it runs through Thursday the 24th at venues around town, Corazon and Little Wing and yada yada. And so at 9 p.m. tonight, Christian Martin of San Francisco's Dirty Bird Sound System is going to be at Corazon. If you like yourself some techno house, go and check that out at 9 p.m. Saturday, the 19th at Corazon, Ashley Raines and the New West Review, that sort of country and sort of countrified blues. And some of these shows are all ages and some aren't. If you go to CorazonSantaFe.com, you can find out information about what shows are all ages and what shows are not. Oh, this one's all ages. Warehouse 21 on Saturday, tomorrow night. Bass Warfare, a night of dubstep. A bunch of players in this one. And that is at, I don't know what time that starts. You'll have to go to the website. Monday, March 7th.
Wait. This is Warehouse 21?
Warehouse 21. Let's see.
I think it's 7 o'clock, isn't it? Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
That's the ones where teens turn anger into hopes. Hope, how local youth are using spoken word to tell their stories about art, life, and addiction?
No, not that one.
Oh.
No.
That's also tonight at Warehouse 21 at 7 o'clock.
Tonight. This is on Saturday, the Dubstep one. On Monday, March 7th, Telekinesis, a great band, indie pop, is going to be performing. And they're also the Globes are going to be performing. I believe that's at Corazon. And then later on Monday, March 7th at 10 p.m., Davila 666, a Puerto Rican garage
nice.
Rock band. These guys are awesome. It's going to be a dangerous show. And then Tuesday, March 22nd, the CD Seeds. That's S-E-E-D-Y, Seeds.
CD Seeds?
The CD Seeds. Tuesday, March 22nd. And let's see, that's at 7 p.m. over there at Corazon. And then later that night is the reggae party with DJs Joe Ray Sandoval and Dynamite Soul. And then
very
there's
nice.
More shows than that, but you got to go to CorazonSantaFe.com to figure out the ins and outs of this thing because there's just a lot going on.
On Thursday at 7 o'clock in the main library community room downtown, Thomas Chown will present Full Circle, which is a continuation of his first novel, Wolves at the Door, which is a story based on his ancestors' pioneering experiences across Kansas, New Mexico, and Colorado from 1864 to 1944.
Neato.
Free and open to the public.
Did we talk about Edwin Land?
No.
We didn't. Insisting on the Impossible, The Life of Edwin Land, science writer Victor K. McElhaney discusses the inventor of the Polaroid camera in conjunction with the joint exhibits at the New Mexico Museum of History and the Albuquerque Museum of Art and History at 6 p.m. tonight at the New Mexico History Museum Auditorium. There's a story in today's Boston Tempo on page 42, and that's a free event.
Excellent.
So that's good. The Spring Ensemble Concert. New Mexico School for the Arts Music and Dance students are performing at 7 p.m. tonight at Christchurch Santa Fe on Don Gaspar Avenue. These guys basically do an ensemble performance every season, and that seems to be the case. It's a young school, but this is how things are playing out. And the one that they did in the winter was fantastic. So you should check them out. Young students, support our young artists and performers.
Art Cats and Cafe Mambo are happy to announce a special Latin dance show at the Monte del Sol Charter School. That's tomorrow, the 19th of March, to help the students raise funds for their Pasos Peace charity, linking with other schools overseas. It's part of their mentorship program. And it's in the gathering space at the charter school, and they'll have contemporary Latin dance music by DJ Sofrito and dance instruction, Tony Perez and his Mambo Faye doing performances, food and drink, all kinds of good things, all ages, a very small suggested donation, and kids under 11 get in free.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
That's
Monte
very
del
nice.
Sol Charter School. And also, just remember that, let's see, every Wednesday at 9 o'clock at Milagro at 139 West San Francisco, there is salsa music, Latin music.
Oh, sweet. There's a lot of Latin music going on in this town lately. That's great.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're a Latin town.
What about this one on Sunday? Celebration of the Enduring American Popular Song. Burt Dalton and his trio honor Irving Berlin from 4 to 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah. Tickets are up there, but if you go to ticketsantafe.org, you can find out more information about that. What else is happening? Oh, the Banff International Mountain Film Festival.
Yes, that's fun.
That's that begins Tuesday. I think it runs through Wednesday. Tuesday at 7 p.m. it starts environmental and adventure-based films at the Lindsay Performing Arts Center once again. You can get a two-day pass. You can get a one-day pass. You can do whatever.
Those extreme sports, extreme skiing and running and hang gliding and all those things are so terrifying to me.
Why?
Well, I mean, I just sit there in my chair thinking I'm going to die, but I'm in my chair. They're the ones who are skiing, and they clearly survived because they made a movie about them.
Yeah, some don't.
Well, that's true. Some don't. Hey, tomorrow at 4:30 at Garcia Street Books, Finding Aster, Our Ethiopian Adoption Story. It's a book by Dina McQueen. Have you seen that or read that?
I have not read it, but I have it.
You have it?
But I have not read it.
Okay. Well, that makes two of us, but it sounds like an interesting book and an interesting woman, Dina McQueen, the author of Finding Aster, tomorrow at 4:30 Garcia.
Yay! What else is happening? Oh, Artie, the oldest. Oh, you already talked about that, didn't you?
What?
Artie, the oldest known homonym?
No.
Okay. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this archaeologist's name. But an archaeologist will discuss the 4.4 million year old skeletal remains of Artie. This is presented by the Santa Fe Archaeological Society at 7:30 p.m. on Monday at the Courtyard Marriott Hotel.
Did you say homonym or hominid?
It's supposed to be hominid, I think, but it says hominin here.
Oh, well, at least it doesn't say homonym, because that wouldn't make any sense.
No, that wouldn't. Well, if there's a 4.4 million year old homonym, that would be awesome. that would change
there's
the way we look at language.
There's probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because 4 million years ago, probably the word cool meant cool. A lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. Now, the word ho means a lot of things now.
It does indeed.
Hey, I got you.
What are we talking about?
You asked me to talk about pet news if I had any.
Oh, yes.
I got to tell you a funny story about when we were coming back from Las Cruces on Sunday. When you're leaving Las Cruces to come back up to Santa Fe, you have to go through a border patrol checkpoint. And so we had three dogs with us. We had my poor Venus, who has a cone on her head, the cone of shame still. And then we had our 9, almost 10-year-old Rottweiler. She'll be 10 on Easter, Pasquale. She was in the back. And then we had an animal that we're watching in a kennel, a boxer. And so we pull up, and all the Border Patrol guys have these really, like, compared to my dogs, pretty scrawny-looking animals. I'm sure they're smart as whips, but just the scrawniest-looking dogs you ever saw. You know, and all these big, beefy guys, but they're rifles and their guns and their bulletproof vests and then, like, walking around what looks like a dingo. And they're like, you know, we're like third in line or fourth in line, and they're talking to all these people, and we walk up, and of course my Rottweiler goes absolutely nuts and starts barking at these border patrol dogs, and instead of asking me if I'm a U.S. citizen and where I'm going or asking for any ID, he's just like, is your dog on a chain? I was like, yeah. And he's like, go ahead.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. You're making my dogs nervous.
Hey, as if there weren't enough things to do tonight. Tonight at 7 o'clock at the Scottish Rite Temple, Presti. It's a concert of guitar music. It's the first all-woman classical guitar ensemble in the United States. And it's at 7 o'clock, as I said, Scottish Rite Temple. For more information, you can go to prestiquartet.com.
What's happening in the movies?
Oh, so much, I'm sure.
Too much.
Too much.
Too much.
But it's time to go. Do you hear that sound?
Yes, I do.
It's the sound of goodbye.
It is.
For now. Let's see. Well, to find out what's happening in the movies, go to the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, where the wonderful Rob DeWalt works and brings us Speaking of the Arts every Friday here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Is there any movie? Was there one movie?
Go see the St. Misbehave and the Wavy Gravy movie.
Right.
It's Thursday, March 24th screening.
At the screen.
87 minutes at the screen.
Yeah, and go to the screen and to CCA Santa Fe for more information on movies, because they've got fantastic movies. Let's see. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We are streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz a la carta, broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company. My name is Mary Charlotte. Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Hasta la vista.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.